Greetings, everyone. Welcome to today's Bible College. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's open up this moment with a silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, family. Thanks for coming over here. Please get your bread and your juice ready. We're going to take communion and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jesus died on the cross, he has become our Lord and our Savior, with honor to him who has everything wrapped up all in all. Jesus said, it is finished. It is well for our souls. It is finished. The cross is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross and dying for us. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly taking the cross for us and taking all our sins, sickness, diseases away and our loneliness. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for that love. Let's take the bread, please, that was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. We do this in remembrance of you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for that. The Lord has established his purpose for us, that we may remember him and at the same time get healed, get restored, obtain our goals, stay focused, give him thanks, repel sickness and disease. Hallelujah, repel sorrow and self-pitying. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And with that, Jesus took the cup and said, drink this. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. Let's go ahead and take of the cup of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the new agreement between us and God. We are established through Jesus Christ as the sons of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right. Now, let's go ahead and go to today's teaching. April the 18th. We'll start off with the 18th, please. The 18th says, Mark 12, 41, 44 says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. Mark 12, 41, 44. I just like to add, when we are at our saddest, when we are at worst, that's when we make it a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, and we cast a cheerful countenance of thanksgiving and praise to the God. Amen. We will be still because of the situation, and the Lord can move in our stillness. Amen. All right, back to the teaching. Have you ever wanted to get God's attention? You can, you know. There's a certain kind of boldness, a certain kind of faith, and giving that will get his attention every time. You can see it in Mark 12. Read that chapter and just imagine the situation it describes. Jesus was sitting on by the treasury watching as people put in their offerings. Don't you know there were some sanctimonious displays going on with him there watching? There was bound to be plenty of pharisaical robe swishing as those wealthy leaders walked up to put in their gift that day. Right in the middle of it all, this poor widow walked up and threw in her offering. I can just see her in my mind's eye. I can hear her say to herself, by the eternal almighty God that liveth, I had enough of this poverty. I'm fed up with having nothing but want. I may just be a poor widow now, but I'm not going to be a poor widow anymore. I'm going to be a broke widow. If God does to do something here because I'm giving him everything I got. Then wham, she threw the last little dab of money and she had into the offering. Do you know what? That got Jesus' attention. He said, listen, everyone, I want to talk to you about this woman. And he started to preach. What moved Jesus wasn't just the fact that she gave, it was how she gave it. She gave it in faith, not in fear. She didn't stop and calculate what she didn't have and say, boy, if I do this, tomorrow I won't eat. She just boldly threw in all she had, expecting God to take care of her in return. You and I need to catch hold of that same attitude. We need to start holding our offerings up to the Lord in confidence, throwing them boldly into his service, expecting his blessing in return. If you have a need right now, get God's attention by giving with boldness like that widow woman did. Throw open the door of your household by throwing everything you have at Jesus. Let God know that he is your source. Before long, the abundance of God will come pouring in. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Please. One of the teachers of the law of Moses came up while Jesus and the Sadducees were arguing. When he heard Jesus give a good answer, he asked him, what is the most important commandment? Jesus answered, the most important one says, people of Israel, you have only one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second most important commandment says, love others as much as you love yourself. No other commandment is more important than these. The man replied, you are certainly right to say there is only one God. It is also true that we must love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and that we must love others as much as we love ourselves. These commandments are more important than all the sacrifices and offering that we could possibly make. When Jesus saw that the man had given a sensible answer, he told him, you are not far from God's kingdom. After this, no one dared ask Jesus any more questions. As Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, how can the teachers of the law of Moses say the Messiah will come from the family of King David? The Holy Spirit led David to say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies into a footstool for you. If David called the Messiah his Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? The large crowd enjoyed listening to Jesus teach. As Jesus was teaching, he said, guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They like the front seat of in the synagogue and the best seat at banquets. But they cheat widows out of their homes and pray long prayers just to show off. They will be punished most of all. Jesus was sitting in the temple near the offering box and watching people put in their gifts. He noticed that many people were giving a lot of money. Finally, a poor widow came and put in two coins worth only a few pennies. Jesus told his disciples to gather around him. Then he said, I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor and gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a cent to live on. New Living Testament says, many think of religion with all its commandments as a burdensome straitjacket, antithetical to true recovery. This may be true in some sense of the Judaism in Jesus' day, and it is sometimes true today among people who claim to belong to God. Jesus wanted to correct this false understanding of true faith. He summed up the numerous Jewish laws in two simple but profound commands. Love God totally and love others as much as we love ourselves. If these two commands rule our hearts and minds, we will be well along the path towards recovery. Amen. And of course, you and I know it's the hardest one for us was to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to celebrate ourselves, to compliment ourselves, to be our best friend. You know, our subconscious mind and our soul had turned on us because of our insensitivity to them. We weren't giving our souls credit or our bodies a break, no recreation, just party, party, party. So they turned on us. Now we're being restored the right frame of mind and good love that we can help others. All right, April the 19th says, be of good cheer. Articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Acts 27:22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I exhort you to be of good cheer. I am asking you to be of good cheer. I am asking you to be of good cheer. It's one of the ways that you want to talk to yourself in the mirror. Say, Fred, I am asking you to be of good cheer, and poke that person in the mirror with your finger. I am asking you, Fred, to be of good cheer. You'll be surprised how a right command will activate the subconscious mind and be all happy that day. Good cheer. What do you do when you're in a really perilous situation? If you're like I used to be, you cry out to God in desperation. One afternoon when I was squalling to God about something, he interrupted me and said, Kenneth, did you know I don't hear the cry of my children when they cry out of desperation? What? I said, I thought you did. He said, no, I hear the desperation cry of a sinner because that's all he can cry about. But once you get born again, son, you ought to be crying out of faith. I hear the faith cry. What is the faith cry? It's calling things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17 is what the Bible means when it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me. The Apostle Paul knew how to use the faith cry. That's why in Acts 27, he exhorted the men on that battered, sinking ship to be of good cheer. He was telling them to start acting by faith. Can you imagine that those sailors thought when he said that? He said, listen to that preacher. Isn't that stupid? We're sinking, and he says to be of good cheer. We've thrown everything we have overboard, and he says to us to be of good cheer. You may feel like those sailors did right now, how they felt. You may feel like if your ship is going down, you might feel like crying out in desperation, but don't do it. Instead, do what Paul said and be of good cheer. Cry out to God in faith and say, Lord, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to despair. I am going to be of good cheer because your word says you'll deliver me from this situation. Then start being cheerful. It may take some determination than anything you ever done before, but God will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the power to be cheerful in the middle of the most ungodly darkness the devil can bring up. Instead of crying out in desperation, take a faith stand, sing and rejoice, and praise God for your deliverance. Be of good cheer, and you can be sure God will bring you through the storms just fine. The reading is Philippians 4:4-9. Let's go over there. Now remember, there's a study done on the most cheerful waiters and waitresses there were in the United States. They found out that the most cheerful ones get bigger tips. And it's like you and I, you know, when we see somebody happily doing their work or being effective and happy and joyful, we want to add to that. We just want to add to that. You know, we just want to be good to bless the people. Now, reading Philippians 4:4-9 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, 1 Final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Now, true happiness can be found in every situation of life when we recognize that God is at work and always in control. Did you hear me? True happiness, you know, we need to accept this. We need to relax and accept the fact that God is and He is at work, working, and God is in control. Because Christ is with us and His return is certain, we can act calmly in pain and difficulty. Peace and joy come when we focus on those things that provide lasting value to our lives. The more we commit ourselves to knowing God's will through prayer and study of His Word, the better prepared we are to help ourselves and others in this process of recovery. Amen and amen. Good stuff. Okay, now let's go to the 20th. Faith to faith. Be supernatural God's way. Exodus 14, 15 and 16 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest unto thou me? Wherefore criest thou unto me? Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Exodus 14, 15 through 16. If you hang around God very much, it won't be long before you'll start wanting to do things the world considers supernatural. You'll start wanting to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll start wanting to cast out demons. You'll start wanting to cast mountainous problems into the sea. What's more, you can do it if you want to. How, you ask? Not by jumping out and trying to do supernatural things, but by obeying God one step at a time, by doing the things He's already giving you power to do. That's how it happened with Moses. He didn't have the power to divide the Red Sea, but he did have the power to stretch out his rod over it. And when he did that in obedience to the Lord's commands, the Holy Spirit did the rest. It will be the same with you. When you start doing your part, the Holy Spirit will do His, and supernatural things will start happening around you. What is your part? Feeding on the Word, praying in the Spirit, listening to what the Spirit of God says to you. As you do these things and you begin to move as God impresses you to move and take your direction from Him, you'll flow into the supernatural as naturally as a bird flies in the air. You won't struggle and strain and try to be part of the sea. You'll just trust the Lord and stretch out your rod and watch the miracles roll by. Reading Exodus 14. Exodus 14 says, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across the Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done, letting all those Israelite slaves get away? Our stock is going to go down," they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had lived with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Phihahiroth, across from Baal Sephon. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Isn't that amazing? That's what God always tells us. That's what the theme. If we're still and calm, the Lord can work. That's why a Bible study and an hour of resting, meditating and putting our feet on the ground, on the grass, and grounding ourselves, letting the world go by and fall in love with the Word of God and with reading His Word, gives God a chance to fix us up. Fix us up in the way that we should have been in the first place till we messed it up. Amen. Okay, the Egyptians, "Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving, to act. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea and dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites." Note. Notice that the Lord said, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea and dry ground. What would happen if you would see Jesus in a vision and he's trying to hand you the keys of the kingdom? To you. What are keys signify? Words. Words of common sense, folks. Words of knowing what you need and what to establish. Words when you want to heal somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. When you have righteous indignation that this thing is wrong in people's lives and you pray against it and speak words of life. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. May the Lord bless you himself, Jesus Christ, this moment and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his earned peace in Jesus' name. Just stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord taking place in your life. Amen and amen. And all of God's people say, amen. All right. And then it says again, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Wow. Can you imagine? The cloud that was protecting them from the sun turned to fire when it positioned itself over here. Amazing, amazing stuff, folks. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. That was in the morning. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians of all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the waters rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers. The entire army of Pharaoh, all of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. This is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Note, a couple of interesting points right here. The fact is that this is how we're supposed to be at all time. We're supposed to be in awe of him, of the things that we call natural. Water, air, sun, moonlight, love. Be able to love our children, love your spouse, love your parents, have love. Have care, have desires. We need to be in awe. That's what gratitude does to us, folks. If you mention 15 items a day of things you're grateful for and put it on your prayer list to God that you're grateful for all these things, we will light up. We will light up with the glory of God, see it all over, and we will actually beam by this exercise. And then we will put our trust, our faith in the Lord instead of our bank accounts, instead of the economy, instead of our U.S. government, instead of in ourselves, in our immune system that's able to rebound. We will put our faith in the Lord, and the Lord will shine us back with his glory. And we will say, "I sit still and the Lord gave me his peace. I stood still and the Lord moved on my behalf." We will give him the glory, the credit, and the honor in that area. Amen. Note, another thing of success here is when 40 years passes, you know, a generation or 80 years, a generation dies and tells the story of the great works of the Lord, and they pass it on to another new generation. And maybe a half of the generation believes and the other half don't believe. So that's how they, and then they go again, another generation passes, and then only a quarter believes. Then one-fifth. And it seemed like every 100 years, God had to come back and spank them and make them suffer. But we are too intelligent for that. When our minds start flirtation of sin, we know what to do. We got to play the tapes, listen to the Bible studies, read, get into the habit of praising the Lord, And it's an indicator that we're not enough into the Word of God when our minds try to flirt with sin. You can recognize that because it goes there automatically. It automatically grounds itself into the bad. So you got to pull those horses, pull the rein into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, like a good soldier. You know, pull those reins and stay on the path of the Lord. The Lord says, do not think of yourself too highly and too much. Praise the Lord, fear the Lord, have honor to him that he created us, and he allows us to have his wisdom, his love, his strength, his enthusiasm, and to give him credit for our own good, folks, so we won't perish. Amen. Now, the Recovery Bible has a couple of notes on this. It says, the Israelites were between a rock and a hard place, the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army on the other. And though the Israelites had already seen God do great miracles in Egypt, it must have been hard for them to wait and see how God will save them from this ominous situation. Our situation may seem just as hopeless, but nothing is a hopeless dead end for God. He will always provide a door leading to the next step in his plan. Now the Israelites, when they cried out to the Lord for help, their terrified complaints show that their faith in God was limited. But at least they took the right first step. They admitted that they were powerless in the situation and then looked to God for help. They were honest about what they were feeling. As a result, their discouragement and fear were soon turned into amazement and rejoicing. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming in here today. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to today's Bible College. Let's go ahead and get started. Let's open up this moment with a silence followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, family. Thanks for coming over here. Please get your bread and your juice ready. We're going to take communion and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Jesus died on the cross, he has become our Lord and our Savior. With honor to him who has everything wrapped up all in all. Jesus said, it is finished. It is well for our souls. It is finished. The cross is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross and dying for us. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly taking the cross for us and taking all our sins, sickness, diseases away and our loneliness. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for that love. Let's take the bread, please, that was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. We do this in remembrance of you, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for that. The Lord has established his purpose for us, that we may remember him and at the same time get healed, get restored, obtain our goals, stay focused, give him thanks, repel sickness and disease. Hallelujah, repel sorrow and self-pitying. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And with that, Jesus took the cup and said, drink this. This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. Let's go ahead and take of the cup of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the new agreement between us and God. We are established through Jesus Christ as the sons of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All right. Now, let's go ahead and go to today's teaching. April the 18th. We'll start off with the 18, please. The 18 says, Mark 12, 41, 44 says, Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. And he called unto his disciples and said unto them, This poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in out of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living. Mark 12, 41, 44. I just like to add, when we are at our saddest, when we are at worst, that's when we make it a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, and we cast a cheerful countenance of thanksgiving and praise to the God. Amen. We will be still because of the situation, and the Lord can move in our stillness. Amen. All right, back to the teaching. Have you ever wanted to get God's attention? You can, you know. There's a certain kind of boldness, a certain kind of faith, and giving that will get his attention every time. You can see it in Mark 12. Read that chapter and just imagine the situation it describes. Jesus was sitting on by the treasury watching as people put in their offerings. Don't you know there were some sanctimonious displays going on with him there watching? There was bound to be plenty of pharisaical robe swishing as those wealthy leaders walked up to put in their gift that day. Right in the middle of it all, this poor widow walked up and threw in her offering. I can just see her in my mind's eye. I can hear her say to herself, By the eternal almighty God that liveth, I had enough of this poverty. I'm fed up with having nothing but want. I may just be a poor widow now, but I'm not going to be a poor widow anymore. I'm going to be a broke widow if God doesn't do something here because I'm giving him everything I got. Then wham, she threw the last little dab of money and she had into the offering. Do you know what? That got Jesus' attention. He said, Listen, everyone, I want to talk to you about this woman. And he started to preach. What moved Jesus wasn't just the fact that she gave, it was how she gave it. She gave it in faith, not in fear. She didn't stop and calculate what she didn't have and say, Boy, if I do this, tomorrow I won't eat. She just boldly threw in all she had, expecting God to take care of her in return. You and I need to catch hold of that same attitude. We need to start holding our offerings up to the Lord in confidence, throwing them boldly into his service, expecting his blessing in return. If you have a need right now, gets God's attention by giving with boldness like that widow woman did. Throw open the door of your household by throwing everything you have at Jesus. Let God know that he is your source. Before long, the abundance of God will come pouring in. Amen. Let's go to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Please. One of the teachers of the law of Moses came up while Jesus and the Sadducees were arguing. When he heard Jesus give a good answer, he asked him, What is the most important commandment? Jesus answered, The most important one says, People of Israel, you have only one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second most important commandment says, Love others as much as you love yourself. No other commandment is more important than these. The man replied, You are certainly right to say there is only one God. It is also true that we must love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, and that we must love others as much as we love ourselves. These commandments are more important than all the sacrifices and offering that we could possibly make. When Jesus saw that the man had given a sensible answer, he told him, You are not far from God's kingdom. After this, no one dared ask Jesus any more questions. As Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the teachers of the law of Moses say the Messiah will come from the family of King David?" The Holy Spirit led David to say, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies into a footstool for you." If David called the Messiah his Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? The large crowd enjoyed listening to Jesus teach. As Jesus was teaching, he said, "Guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes and be greeted in the market. They like the front seat of in the synagogue and the best seat at banquets. But they cheat widows out of their homes and pray long prayers just to show off. They will be punished most of all." Jesus was sitting in the temple near the offering box and watching people put in their gifts. He noticed that many people were giving a lot of money. Finally, a poor widow came and put in two coins worthy only a few pennies. Jesus told his disciples to gather around him. Then he said, "I tell you that this poor widow has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor and gave everything she had. Now she doesn't have a cent to live on." New Living Testament says, "Many think of religion with all its commandments as a burdensome straitjacket, antithetical to true recovery. This may be true in some sense of the Judaism in Jesus' day, and it is sometimes true today among people who claim to belong to God. Jesus wanted to correct this false understanding of true faith. He summed up the numerous Jewish laws in two simple but profound commands: love God totally and love others as much as we love ourselves. If these two commands rule our hearts and minds, we will be well along the path towards recovery." Amen. And of course, you and I know is the hardest one for us was to love ourselves, to forgive ourselves, to celebrate ourselves, to compliment ourselves, to be our best friend. You know, our subconscious mind and our soul had turned on us because of our insensitivity to them. We weren't giving our souls credit or our bodies a break, no recreation, just party, party, party. So they turned on us. Now we're being restored the right frame of mind and good love that we can help others. All right, April the 19th says, "Be of good cheer." Articles by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Acts 27:22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." I exhort you to be of good cheer. I am asking you to be of good cheer. I am asking you to be of good cheer. It's one of the ways that you want to talk to yourself in the mirror. Say, "Fred, I am asking you to be of good cheer." And poke that person in the mirror with your finger. "I am asking you, Fred, to be of good cheer." You'd be surprised how a right command will activate the subconscious mind and be all happy that day. Good cheer. What do you do when you're in a really perilous situation? If you're like I used to be, you cry out to God in desperation. One afternoon when I was squalling to God about something, he interrupted me and said, "Kenneth, did you know I don't hear the cry of my children when they cry out of desperation?" "What?" I said, "I thought you did." He said, "No, I hear the desperation cry of a sinner because that's all he can cry about. But once you get born again, son, you ought to be crying out of faith. I hear the faith cry." What is the faith cry? It's calling things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:17 is what the Bible means when it says, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for me." The Apostle Paul knew how to use the faith cry. That's why in Acts 27, he exhorted the men on that battered, sinking ship to be of good cheer. He was telling them to start acting by faith. Can you imagine that those sailors thought when he said that? He said, listen to that preacher. Isn't that stupid? We're sinking, and he says to be of good cheer. We've thrown everything we have overboard, and he says to us to be of good cheer. You may feel like those sailors did right now, how they felt. You may feel like if your ship is going down, you might feel like crying out in desperation, but don't do it. Instead, do what Paul said and be of good cheer. Cry out to God in faith and say, Lord, I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to despair. I'm not going to be, I am going to be of good cheer because your word says you'll deliver me from this situation. Then start being cheerful. It may take some determination than anything you ever done before, but God will give you the strength to do it. He'll give you the power to be cheerful in the middle of the most ungodly darkness the devil can bring up. Instead of crying out in desperation, take a faith stand, sing and rejoice, and praise God for your deliverance. Be of good cheer, and you can be sure God will bring you through the storms just fine. The reading is Philippians 4:4-9. Let's go over there. Now remember, there's a study done on the most cheerful waiters and waitresses there were in the United States. They found out that the most cheerful ones get bigger tips. And it's like you and I, you know, when we see somebody happily doing their work or being effective and happy and joyful, we want to add to that. We just want to add to that, you know. We just want to be good to bless the people. Now, reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Now, true happiness can be found in every situation of life when we recognize that God is at work and always in control. Did you hear me? True happiness, you know, we need to accept this. We need to relax and accept the fact that God is and He is at work, working, and God is in control. Because Christ is with us and His return is certain, we can act calmly in pain and difficulty. Peace and joy come when we focus on those things that provide lasting value to our lives. The more we commit ourselves to knowing God's will through prayer and study of His Word, the better prepared we are to help ourselves and others in this process of recovery. Amen and amen. Good stuff. Okay, now let's go to the 20th. Faith to faith. Be supernatural God's way. Exodus 14:15-16 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest unto thou me? Wherefore criest thou unto me? Lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Exodus 14:15-16. If you hang around God very much, it won't be long before you'll start wanting to do things the world considers supernatural. You'll start wanting to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You'll start wanting to cast out demons. You'll start wanting to cast mountainous problems into the sea. What's more, you can do it if you want to. How, you ask? Not by jumping out and trying to do supernatural things, but by obeying God one step at a time, by doing the things He's already giving you power to do. That's how it happened with Moses. He didn't have the power to divide the Red Sea, but he did have the power to stretch out his rod over it. And when he did that in obedience to the Lord's commands, the Holy Spirit did the rest. It will be the same with you. When you start doing your part, the Holy Spirit will do His, and supernatural things will start happening around you. What is your part? Feeding on the Word, praying in the Spirit, listening to what the Spirit of God says to you. As you do these things and you begin to move as God impresses you to move and take your direction from Him, you'll flow into the supernatural as naturally as a bird flies in the air. You won't struggle and strain and try to be part of the sea. You'll just trust the Lord and stretch out your rod and watch the miracles roll by. Reading Exodus 14. Exodus 14 says, "Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across the Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done, letting all those Israelite slaves get away? Our stock is going to go down," they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army. All his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops, the Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahiroth, across from Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached the people of Israel, the people of Israel looked up and panicked. When they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" Isn't that amazing? That's what God always tells us. That's what the theme. If we're still and calm, the Lord can work. That's why a Bible study and an hour of resting, meditating, and putting our feet on the ground, on the grass, and grounding ourselves, letting the world go by, and falling in love with the Word of God and with reading His Word, gives God a chance to fix us up. Fix us up in the way that we should have been in the first place till we messed it up. Amen. Okay, the Egyptians, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving, to act. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea and dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they will charge in after the Israelites. Note. Notice that the Lord has said, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea and dry ground. What would happen if you would see Jesus in a vision and he's trying to hand you the keys of the kingdom to you? What are keys signify? Words. Words of common sense, folks. Words of knowing what you need and what to establish. Words when you want to heal somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. When you have righteous indignation that this thing is wrong in people's lives and you pray against it and speak words of life. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. May the Lord bless you himself, Jesus Christ, this moment and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his earned peace in Jesus' name. Just stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord taking place in your life. Amen and amen. And all of God's people say, amen. All right. And then it says again, divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Wow. Can you imagine? The cloud that was protecting them from the sun turned to fire when it positioned itself over here. Amazing, amazing stuff, folks. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. That was in the morning. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians of all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea and the waters rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers. The entire army of Pharaoh, all of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. This is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Note, a couple of interesting points right here. The fact is that this is how we're supposed to be at all time. We're supposed to be in awe of him, of the things that we call natural. Water, air, sun, moonlight, love. Be able to love our children, love your spouse, love your parents, have love, have care, have desires. We need to be in awe. That's what gratitude does to us, folks. If you mention 15 items a day of things you're grateful for and put it on your prayer list to God that you're grateful for all these things, we will light up. We will light up with the glory of God, see it all over, and we will actually beam by this exercise. And then we will put our trust, our faith in the Lord instead of our bank accounts, instead of the economy, instead of our U.S. government, instead of in ourselves, in our immune system that's able to rebound. We will put our faith in the Lord, and the Lord will shine us back with his glory. And we will say, I stood still, and the Lord gave me his peace. I stood still, and the Lord moved on my behalf. We will give him the glory, the credit, and the honor in that area. Amen. Note, another thing of success here is when 40 years passes, you know, a generation, or 80 years, a generation dies and tells the story of the great works of the Lord. And they pass it on to another new generation. And they have, and maybe a half of the generation believes and the other half don't believe. So that's how they, and then they go again, another generation passes, and then only a quarter believes. Then one-fifth. And it seems like every 100 years, God had to come back and spank them and make them suffer. But we are too intelligent for that. When our minds start flirtation of sin, we know what to do. We got to play the tapes, listen to the Bible studies, read, get into the habit of praising the Lord. And it's an indicator that we're not enough into the Word of God when our minds try to flirt with sin. You can recognize that because it goes there automatically. It automatically grounds itself into the bad. So you got to pull those horses, pull the rein into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like a good soldier, you know, pull those reins and stay on the path of the Lord. The Lord says, do not think of yourself too highly and too much. Praise the Lord, fear the Lord, have honor to him that he created us and he allows us to have his wisdom, his love, his strength, his enthusiasm, and to give him credit for our own good, folks, so we won't perish. Amen. Now, the Recovery Bible has a couple of notes on this. It says, the Israelites were between a rock and a hard place, the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army on the other. And though the Israelites had already seen God do great miracles in Egypt, it must have been hard for them to wait and see how God will save them from this ominous situation. Our situation may seem just as hopeless, but nothing is a hopeless dead end for God. He will always provide a door leading to the next step in his plan. Now the Israelites, when they cried out to the Lord for help, their terrified complaints show that their faith in God was limited. But at least they took the right first step. They admitted that they were powerless in the situation and then looked to God for help. They were honest about what they were feeling. As a result, their discouragement and fear were soon turned into amazement and rejoicing. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming in here today. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.